Wow, 28 years of God's faithfulness. Aren't you glad about that? That means some of you were here when this church started. Some of you perhaps were not yet born. And some of you, or some of them, actually went with the Lord already. But nonetheless, we thank God because this year is a reminder for all of us here that in all those years, God has always been faithful for this to this church. And I believe that you, some of you also have experienced that you went through tough days or years. But if you look back, that's where you will always appreciate that God has always been with you. It is such an honor for us to be here. And it's humble, you know, I'm humbled by this privilege to be part of this 28th year that you have. And it is my prayer that the Word of God will continue to challenge you this morning and to continue to be faithful and to be fruitful and to continue to live victoriously, living victoriously. And that's the emphasis that I want to share to you this morning. And so if you have your friends with you right here, I'm praying that this day would be a great day for you and you will be blessed, you will be encouraged. I know that there were some visitors here. The text that I have this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57. And the Word of God says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You've seen it there also. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for today. You have given us this beautiful day, a privilege for us to once again look at our lives and look at the journey of this church where we have seen that you are truly faithful to the leaders, to the members, and even to the people that they influence. And I pray, Father God, that your Spirit will continue to move in this church and that whatever would hinder them to fulfill your purposes for them, I pray that you will annul it, you will remove it in the name of Jesus, and I pray that you will cover this local body of Christ so that their lives would continue to be a blessing to their loved ones, their families and friends, even for this community, oh God. I pray that today we will be inspired by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A few years ago, I was involved in the corporate world while I was also a pastor because I was a bivocational pastor. And I had the privilege to mentor and coach young people, in fact, including kids, young professionals, lawyers, even civil servants. And in all those years that I was doing this coaching and mentoring these people, I also devoured a lot of those books that they really read. And that was very, very popular for these people, for them to be successful. And I'm not sure if you're, you know, because a lot of these authors came from the U.S., like Anthony Robbins and Brian Tracy, all these big guys that you have. I devoured these books, read them, but with the lens from the Scripture. One thing I noticed is that they want to build this self-help attitude, and they want to motivate you that you can be successful with your own strength, especially using your mindset alone. But this morning, my prayer for us is not just looking at your ability, a believer of Christ for several years. My prayer for you is that you will be able to appreciate what God has done for us and not just what we can do for God. Friends, living a victorious life is an important truth because a defeated life does not justify a Christian life. That is why a lot of people, when they attend, you know, motivational gathering or conference, if you're not careful, you will really look at yourself so little and that you will think of yourself as a loser. And many people, they would feel, you know, they would really see themselves as, I think I'm a loser in this world. And we all know that in this world there are winners and there are losers. But you have to understand that a defeated life does not justify a Christian life. That in this life, if there are winners and losers, is it possible that in Christian life there is also what we call winners and losers in the game of life. Why do Christians suffer defeat? I want you to understand that this morning. You see, in our text this morning, Paul was dealing with major problems in the church of Corinth. You will look at this book, and if you are going to read first chapter of 1 Corinthians, it looks like you have this big contrast. Is Corinthian church a successful church or a scandalous church? If you're in the U.S., people feast on scandal, right? But don't you know that even in the past, if you look at the overview of this book, Paul showed major problems in this church. In the church of Corinth, they have divisions or sectarianism inside the church. They also, you know, they also entertain worldly wisdom. They have sexual immoralities. They have legal battles among themselves. They have marital problems. They also have problem with idolatry. And then they have also this problem of abuse of spiritual gifts. Look at that. If you're going to look at the church, you would think that Corinthian church is not a success story. It is a story of scandal. But it is very interesting that if you look at this survey, you just look at the whole picture of this church. You know, when you talk about their intellectual growth, the believers live in a highly educated city. Corinth was one of the major cities in the past, but you look at this church, they're mentally weak and they lack wisdom. They would rather think like the world than know and understand God's word. And so as a result, they are easily deceived. If you look at their emotional, collective emotional life, they would rather adhere to their desires rather than the declared truth of God. They stick to their feelings rather than facts. Does it describe the church today? You have your truth, I have my truth. Regardless of what you say, I stick with my feelings regardless of the fact. But fact is fact regardless of your feelings. The truth will stand even if people won't believe it. And so you look at this physical aspect, the collective aspect of their lives physically. They don't value the holiness and the purity of the body. Some of them, they practice sexual immoralities and they defile God's temple. Spiritually speaking, as a church, they are immature since they abuse their spiritual gifts. They are weak in their doctrines. And if the belief is weak, what can you expect in their behaviors? Friends, when it talks about relationships, they have marital problems. They allow their passions to take over the principles of God. In the society, in their influence in the community, they have internal divisions. They fought with each other. And if you look at, you know, the standpoint of the non-believers, you say, what kind of church is this that they're going to courts and they sue themselves? You see, financially, they live a wealthy life in that city, but they have financial troubles. Does this problem demonstrate a victorious church or a victim? If you're going to look at this church, is this a picture of triumph or tragedy? Folks, it looks like the church is pathetic. They're a bunch of losers. But wait, isn't it that the church is for the redeemed sinners? Isn't it that the church is for sinners like you and me? Isn't it that the design of the church is for us to, you know, reach out to the lost, to the sinners, not to the saints? Isn't it that the church is designed for ordinary people like you and me? That is why I was so blessed when we look at chapter 15. This is the final part of this letter. And like every good leaders, just like every good leader that you would find in this world, they always focus on what is the potential, what is the opportunity at hand, rather than on the problems, they focus on the solution. Paul, even though he mentioned all these problems, he also sees that great potential in the church of Corinth. That is why I am praying that for all of us here, you've been through a lot, but your past is not the measure of your future. God is the one who defines your future. It's not your past. It's not your mistake. It's not your problems or shortcomings in the past. That is not the end in itself. The true measure of yourself is what God has prepared for you and for this church. Friends, look at the first principle that I would like us to see. The first is the principle of gratitude to God. When Paul was, doing this summary of their mistakes and shortcomings, Paul did not left them in that state where they would feel that they're on a guilt trip. No. The purpose of Paul is that you will be able to appreciate that there is a destiny for you. And this is what the verse of God, the Word of God said here. But thanks be to God. Now, if you're going to read this in the original word, this is the beauty if you see the Greek words, because here in the U.S., I understand that we're so particular with grammar, right? Like, even in the church where I came from when I was a kid, if a pastor would have, some mistakes in their grammar, you will expect it that in the offering plate, there's that simple note, grammar 70. And then they would put it in the, But the Greek people, they're not so particular with the arranged, with the sequence of our, the grammar that we have, like subject, verb, and then direct object. No, for them, they can actually use the word, like for example, if their subject is, but thanks be to God. In the original, it says, to, moreover, God be thanks. It looks like a Korean English or what? Or a Filipino English? I don't know. But when you say in a phrase, to, moreover, God be thanks, for the Greek people, they already understand that. Why was it that Paul didn't say, but thanks be to God directly? Instead, he said, he put God first and then be thanks. Because during their time, if you put the word first, then that means there is an emphasis. Meaning that the focus of thanksgiving is God. It's not because of our ability. It's not because of your expertise. It's not because we are good in this and that. But it's because of God. You see, when you look at your history 28 years in the past, you will find out, if you're just really careful at looking at it, you will find out that there were supernatural things that happened, even if you haven't noticed it. Classic example, a life transformed. That's supernatural. I have observed self-help conferences. And you know the change that they're talking? A transformation apart from God's supernatural power. But my friend, the real transformation of life is an act of God, supernatural act of God. Nobody can actually change a person's life. Only God can do that. And today, you have seen this, that the focus of this letter of Paul is that you thank God. And the principle is that if they want to be victorious in life, they must think and live from the future. Pastor, what do you mean, live and thank God from the future? I think that's, creepy idea. Let me prove to you 4 points here under this one. First, I would like us to talk about the inheritance of the kingdom of God. If you're going to look back at the passage in verse 50, it says here, I tell you these brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. That's the first one. That means we have this inheritance of the kingdom of God. The second one, there is this imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same in verse 51 and verse 52, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Christ is coming, and that's in the future once again. Another one, the imperishable transformation of our bodies. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, there is a destiny. You and I will be changed. Christ is coming. We are living in the kingdom of God. And not only that, your bodies will be changed. If you think that your body is not important to God, think again. Because God values your body. Last, the indubitable triumph over death. Then shall come to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. One day, all our friends who are in Christ, who passed away, those who died in Christ in this church, you will see them in the glory days. In Christ, those who live in Christ. That is the destiny that we have now. Now that you see that this is our destiny, what can you do? You see, let me show you some observations. If you fully understand that you are living under God's kingdom, that kingdom that will last for eternity, you would live and think like a citizen. Have you noticed this? I mean, my family and I came to the U.S. in September or August 31. The first time that we came here, we really observed, you know, that the culture here is totally different to what we have. But now that you are in this place, are you going to insist on your culture of where you came from? Like, for example, time observation. You see, Filipinos have liquid idea of time. But if you're going to come here and you still stick to that kind of mindset or lifestyle, what would happen to you here? You will be in big trouble. Because here, people value time and their concept of time is linear. That means punto for punto. On time or before time, you should be there. But in the place where we came from, with most of us, time was liquid. See? The same with other cultures. So if you decide to live in this and become a citizen, then you have to observe also their culture. The positive ones, of course. The same is true that if you are living under the kingdom of God, in my previous life, I have to adapt to living under the kingdom of God. That means I have a king, I am a citizen. That means I have to live. Another one, if you fully understand and believe that Jesus is coming soon, would you be living right with God? Who among you here are using Waze for, you know, for your directions? For the first time, you know, this morning we were really struggling because we went to MetLife. We just missed one, and then the turnpike really led us to the opposite direction. But have you noticed that if you're using Waze or some GPS, and they would warn you, there's police ahead, what would you do? Come again? You slow down, you look at if you are not overspeeding, and you behave. Now, have you noticed that if it's just a police out there, it would make a difference in your life? If you fully understand that Jesus is coming anytime, what would be our response? I believe that the same principle would apply with us. And if you fully understand that God values your body as indicated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you would not mess up your physical body. And since Christ has already defeated the power of sin and death at the cross through the resurrection, what's the use of going back? What's the use of going back? I came to know Jesus Christ because I was so concerned about my eternal destiny. I embraced Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I don't want to go in a direction where I don't want to go. I just want to go and get right with God and spend that eternity with Him. But then I also realized that if I want to be a citizen of that kingdom, I am expected also to live like that as a citizen. So why were they living a defeated life? The Corinthian church, why is it? Is it because they don't understand what they, you know, why they became a Christian? Is it because they were ungrateful for what God has done for them? You see, before the book of Michael Hyatt was released a few months ago, I already received an advance copy. The title of the book is Your Best Year Ever. And sometimes I receive books like that for review so that we can write down reviews about the book. They do that here in the U.S. And it's very surprising that one chapter about gratitude, it's based on the recent scientific research. It's research-based. They have this research here in the U.S. that gratitude makes a difference. And they have this, you know, they have this research from different universities where they have case studies where they observe that people who are grateful are better performer than those who are not grateful. And Michael has concluded that a grateful person, they have this ability to maximize or to amplify everything good in their lives rather than focus on those things that are not good. So when they make mistakes, they constantly focus on the opportunity that they could achieve their goals. And this is very interesting. When you are grateful, you are different. You are blessed. You are focused on the giver rather than the problems. You are focused on the opportunities that God has given before you. And you know what? You are grateful for the destiny that God has prepared for you. The second one here, the power of the gift of victory. The verse says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. I would like to emphasize who gives us the victory because that's the main focus why we are grateful to God today. You see, this is where I love about studying this because if you carefully look at the word, who gives us the victory, it's just like ordinary. The idea that God gives victory, that's it. But if you're going to take a close look at it and study it carefully, this is more meaningful because God is also talking about once and for all victories that God has given us, and there are also the victories that He offers to you and me from time to time in a continuing process. So, there are two. First, you have already that settled victory in Christ. But not only that, there are also victories that when you suffer defeat, in this life, God can also allow you to experience victories in your life over and over again. That means you don't always win in this life. But God has a promise that from time to time, as long as you stick to His plan, you will be able to see that you will not only experience small victories, but in the end, you will ultimately be victorious. That's the reason why the Corinthian church suffered defeat, because they failed to embrace and follow the will of God. Friends, this is where I'm going to really encourage you that if you look at the time in the Old Testament, God gives victory to his people. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. The word of God says, Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you what? The victory. So, since ancient times, if you are a believer, that means God is fighting for you. But when you ask yourself, well, Pastor, why is it that from time to time I also experience defeat? Because that's life. But you don't have to allow yourselves to be defeated all the time because someone is fighting for you. Eventually, you will still win. There are physical battles against these people. See, that's war. Those are tangible fights that they're going through. Now, in this life, I believe that some Christians, they also have, you know, they're struggling with different problems, tangible ones, like health, disease, sickness. Those are real problems. Depression or anxiety. Don't you know that even today, people are also struggling with lack of focus and confusion? Who among you here are watching, you know, mainstream news? And you will be confused. There's so much chaos around us. In relationships, marriage problem, parents problem, and then financial problem, money problem. Those are tangible areas. But have you noticed that not all Christians would actually win in those areas? How come? How can we justify that we are living a victorious life? There is one guarantee. God assured us that spiritual victory in him, but in those real problems that we have or earthly problems that we have right now, you have to learn to go through the process that sometimes you fall and you have to rise again. Sometimes you have to lose in order for you to appreciate your winning streaks before God. God did not promise an all winning streak in life. He only promised an ultimate victory. The third one here, my friend, is the ground for our victory. One thing I learned about in life is this, that being grateful develops humility. When the Word of God says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory," he emphasized also the phrase, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory that we have, the ground for our victory is Jesus Christ. And this is one thing I learned also in life, that in self-help puts winning in life on you. That's what self-help is all about. The New Age teaching would tell you, and they would teach you, that your winning streak in life is based on the conspiracy of the universe. Okay? So you have to focus your mind and think about the universe as the God who would make you successful. But in Christian faith, it's not about you or the universe. It's the God who created you and the universe. This is the big difference. Today, people worship the universe. For you and me, we worship the God who created the universe. Which one has more potential? Which one has the greater opportunity to win? If we only realize that we are not worshiping a universe out there, but we are worshiping the God who created the universe, we will be. We cannot help but be thankful to God. So it's very clear. Winning in life is not all about ourselves. It's about Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5. And the Word of God says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, your faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The victory that we have is only in Jesus Christ. And that makes us more potential. Because when we are together, we can be stronger. When we are united, we can do greater in advancing the kingdom of God. Why? Because each one of you who are in Christ Jesus, you have this great power that comes from God. God has given us the victory. The only question is this: will you continue to live that victorious life? Will you continue to live in Christ? Remember this. At the cross, Jesus defeated the power of sin. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And Christ fulfilled the law. You are not struggling to fulfill the law, because already Christ has fulfilled it. He has won it for you. So that when you trust in Jesus Christ, you have already that freedom from the law. The question is, why would people go back again and be enslaved by the law or the power of sin? Look at this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ defeated death. If Christ was not risen from the grave, according to the Bible, you and I, we are the most miserable people in this world. You agree with that? You and I, we are the most miserable people in this world if Christ was not risen. Because you and I don't have hope. We are just like anybody out there. That when they die, they hope to die, that they would live forever. But it's a guess. But Jesus Christ made it a certainty. That's in the context. And then he offered salvation when he defeated hell. So the question here really is this: why am I going to go back and live a losing life if I already have Jesus Christ? Friends, today, look at your history. 28 years of spreading the gospel. Your lives have been changed because of the gospel. Pastor and I could not change people's lives. We can't. Only God can do that. A while ago, you heard that some, you know, leaders who have visions, they have big visions. Of course, it is expected for us to have big visions because our God is what? God, our God is big. When you go through trials and problems, are we going to magnify our problems rather than what God can do? When you are short financially, are we going to focus on the problem rather than on the God who provides everything? That is why I believe that every leader, every member of this church would continue to consult with one another, be united, these things would happen. If you want to continue to live victoriously, take note. Here's a beautiful passage, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 5 and 6. The word of God says, "A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war." And look at this. "And in abundance of counselors there is victory." Have you noticed this? That when you isolate yourself, it's easy for you to be defeated. But those people who have groups, they have accountability group, they have a team, those are the people who really stayed victoriously because they have accountability. Friend, these are just the three of the blessings we receive from God. We have power over sin. We have power over our body because God has assured us that he will resurrect us. We have power over death because Christ has already won that. And if we are truly faithful, we are grateful. If we are truly saved and are deeply grateful for it, do you know what's your basic response if you're truly grateful? move to the next verse. That's just one of them. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. If some of you are struggling with different defeats in your life right now, go back to what Christ has done for you. If some of us are struggling with the, you know, with marriages, with finances, or with emotional problem or mental problem, go back to what God has promised and what has done for you and for me. And if ever this church will also go through a new challenge, don't run away from it. Because every time that you go through a trial and God will give you that victory, He is preparing you for a different level of responsibility. From victory to victory to victory. We might suffer defeat, but it's not the end. We will continue to push through because that's what living victoriously is all about. Guess, if you are here this morning, you're looking for hope, I will guarantee you, there is no other hope apart from Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is, if you want to journey with this community of faith and experience the victory that they have in Jesus Christ, my prayer for you is, don't be shy, approach any leaders here and find out what it means to live a victorious life.